Welcome to Spiritual Sense. Today we are diving into the ancient art of healing. So if you feel that you need to heal on any level, you're going to learn something fascinating in this session. So let's jump into it with a story, a fascinating story, which Shireen was telling me about, and I'm very curious to hear more about it right now. What is this story?
Okay, so this is a little bit controversial. So that's the disclaimer. And you will see why it's controversial. So this story has been researched and it has been told and retold in education and especially psychology circles. And so in 1800s, they were two men. One was called in New York State. So this is kind of a true story. So there were two men in New York State. One was called Max Jukes and one was called Jonathan Edwards. So let's talk about Max Jukes first. So Max Jukes was an alcoholic. And not only was he an alcoholic, but he kind of lived his life with reactivity, whatever he wanted to do in that moment, he did it. And he was, especially in the home, the atmosphere wasn't very good. And so it was a late, you could say it was a, not just a alcoholic life, but everything around him was not that great. And so they traced 1,200 of his descendants. And I might not get the numbers right, but this is what happened in the 1,200 of his descendants. 9 were murderers, 60 were thieves, 300 or so were prostitutes. They were recorded, right? These are recorded. And so from then till, 100 years later, they did 1,200 of his descendants. And many of them, hundreds of them, were in addiction and, died in poverty, all of those things. And that's Max Jukes. Now, there's another man, very similar environment, similar town, everything. And that, his name was Jonathan Edwards. And they did a study on 1,400 of his descendants. What happened to 1,400 of his descendants. Because both men at that particular time, when they were living, both of them were pretty unremarkable, right? They weren't famous. They weren't, any of those things. They were just unremarkable people. And so the effects of what they did was felt much later on. And so Jonathan Edwards was a preacher. He was a deeply spiritual man, and he spent a lot of his time, in family and study and spiritual things and, all of those things. And so they did a study of him. Like, he was a very, he had a life of purpose, you could say. And then they did a study of his 1,400 descendants. And one was a U.S. vice president. 3 were U.S. senators. 9 were college presidents. And hundreds of them were professionals, doctors, and things like that. And his descendants showed up very differently, right? And so that story, I've known that story for a while now, but I started thinking about that story, like the difference, right, one person can actually make in someone's line, someone's bloodline, and what happens to people. That story for me really is standing out these days, because one of the things I'm thinking about is the way we react, what happens. Healing, everything is actually generational trauma. And how do we heal that generational trauma? What are your thoughts, Brother Michael?
That's a very interesting story. So obviously it goes to show the power of the genes, but not just the genes, the consciousness that it carries, because it's not only the body that is going on, it's the environment, isn't it? So this one person, he who was the alcoholic, he had no doubt his actual physical body changed as a result of his various substance abuses. But then the environment that the people, his children and grandchildren, grew up in was probably a similar kind of situation. And then it just kept on going. Whereas the other one, they had a different environment and different physiology as well. And this does seem to show up, like a lot of the stuff that we go through in our life, challenges we have. It's not just us. You look back and say, oh, my parents had the same problem and their parents had the same problem. And I was talking to one of my clients recently and she was saying her son loves sugar and she loves sugar, right? And it's like, where does he get it from? You know, it's like, so what we do, we kind of pass it on to our kids and then they pass it on to their kids and they pass it on to their kids. And it takes a courageous soul to stand up to all of this and say, I'm going to break the chain. I'm going to be the one in this whole dynamic that could go back, you know, thousands of years potentially, and say, I'm going to be one that changes this pattern. I'm going to be the one that breaks that hypnotic trance, that chain, that continuous program. So that's very interesting, because otherwise we're just basically at the mercy of our conditioning and our body, which is not exactly a very liberating way of thinking. So from your research, because I know you've been doing a course on this, what is the way that is the best to break that pattern?
You know, for me, it's not even, it is about the body and it's what we store in the body and all of that and, you know, genetics. All of those things are playing a role here. But it's also about the atmosphere you create in your environment. And so what happens is it's really not about good families, good luck, bad luck, you know, genes, this and that. But also the consciousness in which they came to life, right? So let's say he had a few kids and the house must have been so traumatic for these kids. And and so they learned behaviors, like it's learned behavior, much of it is learned behavior. They learned behaviors from their dad. And then those learned behaviors passed on and passed on and passed on, right? And so recently I was talking to someone who comes to the meditation center, and she was sharing with me, she has four children, and her husband, their daughters, and her husband wanted sons. And so every time he would talk to these children, he would be so nasty, so nasty. It's not even like neutral, not even like indifferent, but really put them down all the time, you know, tell them they're not worth anything, this and that, right? And so she's saying now she's watching her grandchildren and how they are, because you know, they watch not only, the children watch the parents go through this and the father telling them this, and now the grandchildren had to also witness it, right? And so I'm watching how your, it's not even biology at some point. It is just consciousness. Like I was watching that situation unfold, right? That's why this thing came to me, because it was a recent story I was hearing. And I was thinking, wow, one person can actually make such a difference in someone's life, right? One person can change. And so when I hear a story like this, or when I hear the story of this grandmother who comes to the center, what stands out to me is generational trauma is very real. And one person can really actually make a difference, right? You do make a difference. And it's good to really acknowledge what is the, not just hide it or, you know, pretend it's not there, or because some of these very unconscious patterns that we are emulating from our parents and we don't even know we are emulating it, is it's good to take a really good look at it, right? It's not that it's not there. Everyone has it. It's there. And it's good to take a very good look at it. And to come to this awareness and realization that I can be the one that changes the family line. I can be the light in the line, right? I can be the light in the line, because awareness and education really can do a lot of things.
That's right, because otherwise, typically speaking, women become their mothers and men become their fathers. And, you know, everyone's kind of shocked when they hear that, but if you look at it, it generally does seem to happen in most cases in various ways. So we have to consciously decide that I am going to let go, liberate myself from these patterns. But first of all, to even know what they are, because we're often so close to these things, we can't tell that we're just copying the programs. And these programs got programmed into us when we were, you know, tiny little babies. We're watching our parents, oh, look at what they're doing, and then copying it, so that by the time we're 8 years old, 80% of all our programming and our idea about life and our beliefs are all just stuck in there. And then by the time we're 18, 95% of our programs are there, and they're the same programs that everyone else got. So that's why it's quite a lot of spiritual work is necessary to get out of this situation, isn't it? It's not a small job.
I know, right? It isn't a small job. But one of the things, holistically, you can do it, I feel. Okay, you could find out your programming, but I feel like some of the soul-centered practices that we teach in our centers, you know, in the Brahma Kumaris, that they actually holistically work. You might, like, sometimes it's really good to find what is it that's going on. And sometimes it's just good to let it all go and just, you know, do a practice that will heal this, right? They are ancient practices that we can do that will heal it without knowing what it is. It's always good to know, because you don't want to repeat it, and then you come into awareness and then you can really clean it. But if you don't want to know and you don't have, you know, the stomach to find everything, because sometimes it takes a lot of courage to do that, we can do a healing practice without all of those things.
That's right. So you can go to a therapist and spend $200,000 to figure out why it is that you're messed up, which is could be helpful. Or, and you can just get to the healing part and clear it out. So you know, there's various options in this process of spiritual awakening. So what would do you feel is the key practices that can heal this generational trauma?
One practice is a very simple practice, is I am a soul, I am light, I am eternal. Right, I'm a soul, I'm light, I'm eternal. And every time, it's almost like it has to be a trigger practice. Like you're thinking in a way that is spiraling down, then you come to this, you are reacting to something, you are doing this, you're feeling bad about something, you're doing this. So it's a practice, it's like it's a trigger practice. You have to decide like four or five things that you normally do which are unhealthy, right? It could be worry, it could be self-sabotage, it could be thinking negative about other people or any of those things, right? You catch yourself and do this practice. I am soul, I am light, I am eternal. It sounds simple, but it's actually profound and it's not that easy. To catch yourself and you keep doing that. I am soul, I am light, I am eternal. But you, so you find, like, take a moment, right? Take a moment and write down, like, these three or four or five things that keep going on and in your life, right? That you know you're repeating some very negative patterns. Write them down, and this is your trigger, your reset practice. That's one. The second one, I feel, is that this is what I tell myself. I'm the light in my family line, right? I'm the pivot point. I'm not just one of the link in the chain. I'm the pivot point. I'm the light in my family line. And I can do this, right? I'm the light in my family line. I'm a soul. I'm not my story. I'm not, you know, all these sanskaras, these patterns. I'm not all of those things. I'm not my history. I'm not that. I am a soul. And I am beautiful and pure and peaceful. That's my original nature. And I am the pivot point, the light in my family line. That's another practice that is very, very useful. And think about it, right? I want you to really think about, just like even now, right? 20 years from now, you do this remembrance practice, right? Is you're remembering. It's not something you're learning. Because you're a peace, right? Your original nature is peace. Your original nature is love. You don't need to learn those things. You're just remembering those things. And so when you remember and you just watch yourself 20 years from now, how all these tiny moments of remembrance really add up and how you really change the way you are. And if you have children, your children will see that you're doing this and they will emulate this behavior of you remembering, of you not reacting, right? Of you just being love. They will emulate that behavior. And so, and see how that it has an effect. It has an effect going forward. It has an effect.
It certainly does. And it's interesting because the family dynamics or the family generational trauma is all based on the body, isn't it? Based on the physical body, people, you know, in various ways. It's so when you realize I'm not this body, I'm a spiritual being, then you kind of snap out of actually the physiology part of it and also the family dynamic at the same time. Because we're dissociating ourselves from that whole lineage in a way, you know. So it requires detachment, doesn't it, to be aware that you're a soul, literally, because you're saying I'm who I am at my core is not related to this long line of things that came before. Because otherwise, if we are attached to that whole lineage, then we're connected to it energetically, and then we're going to pick up those traumas. It's very true how all these moments of practice that might not look like much at the time, they all add up, don't they, to major changes over time.
Absolutely. One of my favorite places on earth is Mexico. And the last time I was in Mexico, it's been a while since I was there. The last time I was in Mexico, I was talking to one of my friends there. She's Mexican, right? Hardcore Mexican. And you can tell that she is, You know, like in Mexico, a lot of people came from different parts of the world, but they're also indigenous Mexicans. And so that she looks kind of like a mix, indigenous Mexican. And so her family must be, you know, native to Mexico. And so I was asking her, so she was talking about the Incas, and she was talking about the Mayans, and she was talking about what happened and how, you know, the really bloody history on all of this thing and what happened in the recent past and the whole history of it, right? And then she went into all of that, and at one point she just stopped and she said, I don't identify with that history. I don't think it's my people. Because she is, you know, she's a practicing Brahma Kumari. And so she said, my ancestors are Brahma Baba and, you know, Jagadamba Saraswati and Dadi Janki and Dadi Gulzar. These are my ancestors. This is who I identify with. And I was thinking, that is so... So wise, right? Because, like, imagine the trauma that happened to indigenous communities all over the North and South Americas, right? Just the trauma that happened to them. You know, they had a particular way of life, and then it just got destroyed. And, you know, their populations got decimated. And, you know, I'm not even talking about who's at fault and they should have done this. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about hundreds of years later, we are sitting here and thinking, oh, they did this to my ancestors and they did that. And so each time I'm thinking those thoughts, I am, like, taking in that trauma more and more and more. And so I feel to be able to heal this trauma of generational trauma is, yes, it's good to acknowledge your ancestors, it's good to do all of those things, but it's also good to know that originally, you know, deep down, way back when, everyone were pure. And though, like, to identify with that original purity instead of the last few hundred years.
Yeah, if you trace it back long enough, it goes to the Garden of Eden, that golden age, essentially. You know, that's all the stories. They end up going back to the golden age version. And between there and here, of course, there's somewhat of a messy situation.
But we don't need to buy into it.
We don't have to associate with it.
Yeah, we don't need to. I remember a couple of years ago, there was a young soul who came in an African body, American but black. And we were talking about she being a soul, and she could not identify herself as a soul because she identified so much with her race. She could not identify herself as a soul, right? And she kept saying, but you don't understand because you didn't go through all of that, right? I'm thinking, even if I do understand, right? Yes, you did go through all of that. I'm not denying anyone went through anything. We are not denying it. I'm not saying be an ostrich and sit in the thing and say it didn't happen. All I'm saying is that kind of identification is very old paradigm. You want to heal right now? You have to let go. There is no other way. There is no other way. You have to let go if you want to heal. Because the more you hang on to these things, right? The more you hang on to my race, they did this and, you know, they were enslaved and this happened and, you know, my race got decimated, population got decimated and this kind of, you know, they were put in these chairs with this and, you know, did that torture to them and all of those things, right? Because that's the kind of torture that happened in Mexico. But anyway, And so they did all of those things, right? You keep thinking about it. It didn't happen to you, right? And there are people in your race who have overcome and are successful, right? You're harming yourself. What is the point? What is the point of being so miserable? Is there a point in being that miserable? Like, you have to see 20 years from now, if you keep holding on to these old stories, old ancestors, old things, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to you? What is the legacy you're leaving for your children?
Yeah.
It's not a good legacy.
There's people who come out of these things in all sorts of situations, isn't there? Oprah Winfrey is a great example of this, actually. She had a very, very challenging childhood in the South, you know, and got raped and had beaten and all the stuff, right? It's just awful. But now she's like a multi billionaire. And she could have easily gone into victim consciousness and been a drug addict somewhere under a, you know, bridge. But she's now, everyone knows Oprah, right? I mean, she's a really great example of this, actually. So, yeah, bottom line is, wherever we focus our attention, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And anyone who focuses on things they don't like, even if it's true, it's not, what good is it doing us today in our life? Is it actually making me happier and more successful and making a difference, being an inspiration to other people? Or am I just ruining my joy and becoming a bitter person who isn't able to change or help anyone else? I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
You know, many people, I've noticed, Brother Michael, they have their own problems. They're really not here to help people, right? Many people are like that, which is fine. But even if you look at your own problems, right? You want to get out of your problem. Want to get out of your misery. You want to experience peace. You want to experience happiness. That's not the way to go. Right? You have to remember. Remembrance is the way to go. You have to remember your original nature is love, and you're a soul, and purity, and, you know, just connect with those kinds of things, not a story that is very body conscious. You know, like, let's take me, right? I come from India, and I'm female. It's quite well documented how badly females were treated in India. And so if I buy into the programming and the hypnosis, because from the time I'm born, I was told I'm Indian, I'm female, right? I'm identifying with being female, Indian. And also, I had aunts who weren't treated very well, and, you know, that's another long story. I won't get into those stories. Horrible lives, right? They just didn't have many options, right? And that's what I saw. And if I continue to identify as Indian female, what would my state be, right? I'm just going into a hole. There's no way out of that hole. Yes, it's true. All of those are true. But why limit ourselves, right? It's like there is a cage and the door is open. And if I keep identifying myself as Indian female, I insist on sitting in this cage. But the door is open. I can walk out of that door. Because there's no use, because the generational trauma around being Indian female is not funny, right? It's not small, it's not funny. I saw it, right? I saw it with, you know, my grandparents, my grandmom, and, you know, grandaunts and all the, I saw it happening, though I was little and stuff. And thank you, God. One day, Mataram, no, thank you for my mom for breaking it. Thank you. But that broke, you know, she broke the family line. And so like, you have to get out of this. You have to heal. You want to heal, then you have to learn to remember who you are. this got serious very fast, very soon.
Serious business right here. Generational trauma has a bit of a heavy, heavy feel to it, doesn't it? Yeah, and if you, because I mean, if you go back on anyone's, you know, family tree long enough, you're going to find some crazy people who did crazy stuff or bad things happened to them or something.
So you know, the way to break the chain. Some things are much heavier, no? Some things are much heavier.
Yeah.
You know, like Indian female, much heavier.
Absolutely, yeah.
A lot heavier than, like, let's say a white male.
Well, it depends how far back you go, doesn't it? You know, all these, you know, the white race has certainly had its challenges if you go back far enough.
Uh-huh. Right. Like, I'm putting a marble in my mouth. Let's make this fun and light and easy.
What's this, the victim consciousness Olympics? Which race has had the worst thing happen to them?
The point is not that. The point is absolutely not that. The point is... we are trying to convince you, you are light, you are eternal, you're a soul. Everything else is nonsense connected with the body and needs to be taken in a balance where you're totally aligned with being a soul and you take care of the body, but you don't identify with it. We need to come out of that hypnosis. That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely. We're all the same. That's the thing. This whole race thing is the cause of a huge number of problems, and the solution is that we are all one wonderful big family of spiritual beings, and everyone looks the same. We're all divine light, and this is all ego-based identification with the body, which is certainly not helping us feel any better, and it doesn't get us out of these generational trauma loops. So that's why the practice Shireen was mentioning earlier, simple as it might sound, saying, I am a soul, I am eternal, I am a soul, I am eternal, actually snaps a whole number of complicated things with just one or two phrases that are repeated until they become an experience of being a spiritual being. So if you want to get off this trauma boat, that is the solution.
Healing, right? It really is healing. One of the things I feel that we are not taking into effect is the ripple effect, whether we want to or not, right? The ripple effect of my thoughts, my behavior in the environment that I'm around, like whether workplace, whether family, you know, wherever, right? The ripple effect of what I'm thinking on the environment and on the people around me. And to really be like to practice giving blessings, right? Blessings to the body, blessing to the soul. Another practice that is very useful in this is blessings to all the people, all of your ancestors who came before you. See them in light also. See them embody light. See them, you know, the light that you're embodying, see them in that light. Right? Just take a moment, see them in that light. See them healing. And it does make a difference because they will heal, because this is not about physical. This is like a vibrational thing that will reach them, right? So in your light, you see them healing, and then also all the souls around you see them healing, and how you're the pivot that you're not only healing, but you're healing the generations before you and the souls after you. Like giving them blessings, seeing them in the light, you know, sending, thinking of them as soul, light, eternal, everyone.
What a beautiful practice. Yeah, see yourself healed and then send it back and forward in time in both directions. It's all energetics, ultimately. Everything is the frequency, the atmosphere. So this is something that any of us can do. It only takes a few minutes to get started, just to stop, remember you're a soul. Imagine yourself completely healed as a pure divine being. Receive divine light, spiritual healing from above. Breathe it in and then just send that out through your body and then out all around to all the other souls that you're connected with. And it will feel better and better and better and better. And the more you do it, the more powerful and the faster the healing will happen. Ah, yes.
Wonderful.
So well done. Well, thank you for breaking the chain and becoming the light in the line. That's a nice expression, the light in the line. Very beautiful. So you have a blessing for us?
Yes. Let's pick a random one, or you want to pick
random
a
random one? Yeah, let's see what the healing.
Happiness.
Happiness is the solution to trauma. There it is.
There's harmony also.
Oh, harmony.
On
harmony
one page. Which one? Yeah.
Harmony.
Mm-hmm. You see, okay, this is a blessing from God to you. Harmony. You see each person's place in the melody of life, weaving together a harmonious song. Stress fades away and unity takes hold. Your heart brims with love. You forgive without hesitation, and compassion guides all judgment.
Thank you. Yay. So, wishing everyone profound healing and peace, and talk to you in the next episode. Congratulations. Beautiful to be here. Thank you, Shireen.
Thank you, Michael.